This morning we're going to be concluding kind of our 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting sermon series, and I do want to kind of give you a little bit of a clue of what's coming, because it's going to be a little bit different than what I've typically done. So I want to let you know now so that you can kind of get your head around it and get prepared, because I'm actually very excited about it. It's something that is going to, like I said, be a little bit different, but I wanted to let you know what's going to happen. Next week, really for the first time since they've gotten here, Pastor Renee is going to be sharing in service. So he's going to be speaking next week, which he's going to do a great job. Pastor Sarah has already had an opportunity to speak. And so it's his turn. So he's going to speak next week. And then we're going to be starting a brand new series. Basically, I guess that would be the 9th of February. And it's entitled Majoring on the Minor. And I've always kind of found that if I grabbed your Bible, if you actually have a, well, you know, a Bible with you this morning that's the old-fashioned kind, meaning one of these types of things, and I basically grabbed your Bible and I kind of looked through your onion pages to figure out, you know, which section of Scripture was probably the most new, and I probably would find that for most of us, the most new section of your Bible, no matter how old your Bible might be, is the Minor Prophets. And so we are going to take some time and we're going to go through the Minor Prophets together. I'm very excited about it. We're going to basically take a Minor Prophet a week and go through, basically starting with Hosea, and go through each of these. Now, because there are 12 of them, this is going to be a little longer of a series. Now, I make you promise, okay, if we kind of get going on it and all of a sudden I'm kind of going, man, maybe we need a break here, we'll go about 6 and we'll take a break, okay? And then maybe we'll do part 2 in the fall. If it's going well, we'll just knock them all out. But this will take us a little bit of time. But I really do believe it's a section of Scripture that is just as obviously as inspired as the major prophets. It's not that the minor prophets are not major. It's just they're minor in size. And there's so much good stuff in them. And so we're going to look at each of those together over the next several weeks, starting, like I said, on February 9th. So I'm very excited about it. So if you want to start kind of looking at those to kind of get prepared, you can. If not, that's fine. But we are going to be looking at those minor prophets together throughout basically the spring. And I'm really excited about it. So if you have any questions about that, please let me know. But today, we're actually going to finish our Seek First series. We've been kind of looking at this, and obviously this has been our series as we've kind of gone through these 21 days of prayer and fasting, and our main verse has really been, obviously, Matthew 6:33. And so we're going to read it one more time and then kind of look at these ideas together. So Matthew 6:33, if you have it in your Bible, you can grab it there. Your phone, or obviously, it'll obviously be on the screen. It says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You for this morning and this time. Father, I thank You for each one that's been able to come. God, for those that are online, as obviously the weather outside is still a little tough and the roads aren't necessarily perfectly clear. So we thank You for bringing us all here safely. And God, I pray that as we look at these things together, God, You give us wisdom and direction. God, as we kind of finish this series and kind of put a bow on it, Father, I pray that You would just open our hearts to what Your Holy Spirit desires to communicate to us this morning. We love You and we thank You. You are so good, and we thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we jump into the message this morning, I kind of want to talk real quickly about kind of the purpose of this morning for me. And kind of as I've looked at this series and kind of looked at kind of how we were going to bring it all to a close, and obviously I knew that if everything went the way I kind of thought it was going to go, we were going to be basically going over this type of message on this day that basically is the first day after the time of prayer and fasting. And so really my hope, my prayer, my desire is that through this message, it really is an encouragement to you. It really is a motivation to you, not just because, you know, not just for today, but for, you know, because obviously this is kind of day like 22, makes sense, you know, but so that now that the fast and that time is necessarily over, but that basically you're propelled forward. you're propelled through day 22, day 23, day 24, day 25, and really throughout all of this year. I'm really hoping this is kind of a springboard for you and for me, very encouraging that basically we can take this whole concept and this whole message series and really use it as we move forward. Because for some of us, you know, like this is a very exciting day, you know? Like, I don't know if you fasted or what you fasted or whatever, but this is kind of one of those days where it's like, man, I'm kind of excited. You know, like I get to eat lunch today. You know, like that's you laugh, but that's kind of like, yes. You know, spaghetti, yes. I know there were people that were making like plans. And I would encourage you on this, you know, like when we do a 21-day fast and prayer, something I've always done. And I really want to encourage you to think about this and pray about it. Don't just think about it, pray about it. Is sometimes God will use in my life, as he has in the past, he has used the 21 days of prayer and fasting to not just help me to focus in on him and things of that nature, but he's also used his Holy Spirit to illuminate things in my life that really need to continue to be fasted. Okay? And what I mean by that is sometimes God will take these seasons and he'll help us realize that, you know what, there may be things in your life that I'm not just going to ask you to stop doing through 21 days. Like, maybe this is something you need to consider moving away from permanently. And I don't know if that's the case in your life. You may go, I prayed about it. No, that's fine. You know, listen, I plan on eating today. So God didn't say, you know, just stop eating, because my wife's already gotten on to me. She's like, you need to eat. So I'm like, she's like, how much weight have you lost? I said, I don't know. I tend to not weigh myself during the fast because that can get a little scary, you know. But at the same time, sometimes God will use these times to really reorganize and help us to reevaluate areas in our lives. And for some of us, I know, you know, there may be some things where God is saying, listen, you know, I used this time for many things, but one of the things I wanted to use it for was to help you realize you don't need that, and that's okay. I have something better, and I will encourage you in this. Anytime that God has ever said to me, Aaron, I want you to remove that from your life, he's always filled that void with something better, every single time. More of him, more of his presence, more time for friendship, more time for community, more time for my family, whatever it might be. And so I just want to encourage you as we are kind of bringing all this to a close to be very aware of those things and be very sensitive to what the Holy Spirit might be saying. But obviously, over the last several weeks, we've broken down this verse together. We've looked at his kingdom, or we first looked at a priority and that idea of what it really means to seek first and to make that a priority in our life. We looked at his kingdom. We looked at his righteousness. And today, we're going to close it all out, and we're going to look at all these things, okay? Because here's the thing. I have found that if we're not careful, we can redefine all these things into something that Scripture never intended for us to basically have it be. And if God's saying to me, listen, if you're going to do this and this, if you're going to focus in on me and my righteousness and my kingdom, I'm going to take care of all these things. I don't know about you. I'm not cool with just being like, you know, okay, whatever. I want to know what all these things are. I want to know what God has for me and for you. And so we had to stop right now and look at this so we can understand this morning. When Jesus was referring, what is Jesus referring to when he says all these things? Because Jesus has got something in mind. Remember, Jesus doesn't say this in a vacuum. He's saying this in one of the greatest sermons that ever been spoken. And so to answer that question, we need to look at some context. We need to see what Jesus is speaking about when he says all these things. So if you have your Bible, again, we're going to be in Matthew, but instead of being in Matthew 6:33, we're going to back up a little bit, and we're going to look at the context of the verse that we've been looking at, so that we can get a little better understanding of what Jesus means when he says all these things. So again, Matthew 6, be up on the screen. We're going to start looking. It's a little long. We're going to look at 25 through 32. Here's what it says. This is Jesus speaking. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Listen here, look at verse 32. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful portion of Scripture? When Jesus is communicating something to us, when he says, basically, listen, because here's the deal. Guess what? That was verse number 32. Guess what verse number 33 is? But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All these things. So just to make it simple, just to make it easy before we move into kind of some application and some understandings, we're going to break it down real simply. So all these things, what does that include? What do they include? What did Jesus, when we look at his context, when he looked at what he was sharing, what do these things basically include? First, our basic needs, such as food, drink, and clothing. Our basic needs. He says, why are you worried about everyday life? Are you worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear? And then he begins to give this beautiful analogy of the birds and of the flowers and all these things. And basically he says, listen, if your heavenly Father takes care of those things, how much more will he take care of you? I remember several years ago, and this is always, I don't know if you've ever watched something on TV or read something in a book, but it just kind of sticks with you. And you can't get it out of your noggin no matter how much you try. I remember this was several years ago. I may even brought it up before in a message, but it just kind of has always penetrated my heart in such a weird way. But how many, you don't need to raise your hand or anything, but you remember Bear Grylls? And that was a couple years ago now. I don't know if Bear Grylls is still alive or what, but if you don't know who Bear Grylls is, he's basically one of those TV presenters that was supposedly, really good at survival and all that sort of stuff, and they would drop him in the middle of nowhere. And then he would show you how to eat disgusting things and survive. Basically, that was it. And one of the things I learned about Bear Grylls kind of later on was that he was a believer. And I remember there was one episode, and they dropped him in the middle of nowhere type of thing, supposedly, And I remember he was there, and he kind of was traveling down, and I think he's British, so he's got that accent, which is really cool. And he comes upon, and I'm not going to do it, so don't worry. He comes upon, basically, kind of in the middle of nowhere, just this flower. And it doesn't belong there, And he stops. And he makes a comment about that flower, like he kind of says, like, something to the effect of, no one was ever going to see this flower. And yet, God created it just for the simple beauty of it. And you go, well, God knew that there would be a TV camera there and video camera. Yes, I get that. But how many thousands or millions more have come up in those areas that have never been seen by human eyes? And it's just like, wow. God, you're so amazing. God, you're so creative. God, you make such unbelievable things. And Jesus is talking a little bit about those flowers, maybe some that we never even see, and basically says, listen, the flowers, Solomon was never dressed as well. But he makes a comment. He says, basically, you know what you do with flowers eventually? You pick them up, you throw them in the fire. And he says, I'll take care of those needs. But he doesn't just talk about this idea of the basic needs of life. Yes, that's great. Yes, we need those. Yes, he wants to provide those. And before we go there, I almost missed my verse. Let's jump back. But look at Psalms 50. This is a great verse. Psalms 50, verse number 10 through 12. This is what it says. It says, for all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. I like that verse. I know there was a song when I was a kid that I think was an older song, but something about there, he owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. God's got us, guys. Everything in this earth belongs to him. He can meet our needs. We can trust that. He's got it, and he's got us. But not only does he, all these things include kind of those basic needs, but it also includes our spiritual needs, such as emotional, relational, and spiritual needs. You see, God doesn't just want to meet the basic needs of life. He wants to meet every need of our lives. He wants to look and make that relational connection with us. He wants to help us in the emotional things of life. He wants to meet all of those needs. Look at Psalms 84:11. In Psalms 84:11, this is what it says: "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Now listen, before you start going, wait a minute, I'm not blameless. Listen, none of us are. That's not what this term basically means. It means an individual who strives to live righteously. Which, guess what? That's part of the first part, the thing we're supposed to be focused in on first, right? And so when we will do that, when we will focus in on his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things, the basic needs, the spiritual needs, God wants to bring and meet. And here's the deal. And what's great is Paul, even in Philippians, gives us a catch-all. Gives us a catch-all in a verse that many of us have heard before, Philippians 4:19. "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Every need you have, God can meet, God wants to meet, and God can meet. Every single one. You say, "Aaron, I'm lonely." God can meet that need. "Aaron, I don't know where we're going to handle this situation or that situation." God can meet those needs for you. But here's the problem. Here's at least what I have found in my own life. I can have a very difficult time focusing in on his kingdom and his righteousness and all these other things. Typically, because basically, if you think about it, you can really only have one thing first. We think we can have ties, but really we can only have one thing first. They are kind of constantly, at least in my life, somewhat fighting each other. Where I'll go, I want to focus in on God's kingdom and his righteousness, but then I kind of tend to kind of come over here and start to worry and fret and wonder if God is going to really meet all these things. And that's kind of what Jesus is talking about in the scripture that we looked at in this context. He's basically saying, listen, you're worried about a lot of these, all these things, and because you're worried about all these things, you're having a very hard time focusing in on my kingdom and my righteousness. And basically what he says is, listen, if you will put those things first, you can trust me that I can bring all these other things to you. All this provision, all this help, all these things that you need, I can meet if you will just prioritize my kingdom and my righteousness and trust me and allow that to happen. But for me, at least, it can be so hard to do that. It can be so difficult to do that. And maybe there's certain areas, man, I'm great. I can handle it fine. Like, I can trust God that he's going to take care of that need, whatever that need might be. But this need, I don't know. I don't know. And so with that need, I run over and I kind of get my hands all over it and I try to take care of it. But here's the thing. I think as we look at the scriptures that we just read, the context that we just see, God is promising some great things if we'll see it. And so this morning, to kind of bring all this to a close, I want, again, to kind of help us to propel us forward into basically 2025, I want to look at some things and some ideas of why should we trust God's promised provision rather than be consumed by worry? Okay? Why? Why should we basically say, nope, I'm going to put my priority on His kingdom and His righteousness, and I'm going to let God handle all of the rest. Because I think there's some really good reasons found in this chunk of scripture that we just looked at. So let's look at, and I believe I have five of them. Yeah, five of them that I want to look at together. Number one, why should we trust that? Our lives have a greater purpose. Our lives have a greater purpose. Look at the second part of verse 25 here. It says, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Do you understand that God has a great purpose for you? Like, God has a plan and a purpose for you. And basically, God, kind of Jesus is looking at us and saying, listen, I understand that you look at life and you're going, man, this is an important thing. And Jesus here, I don't believe, is minimizing the importance of food and clothing and all those things. He's just helping us understand that our life has a higher purpose than those things. You see, for a lot of people, our lives become the purpose of acquiring food and clothing and stuff. And Jesus is basically saying, listen, those things are temporal things. I have plans and purposes for you that are eternal things. And I want you to understand that. You see, one of the lies that the enemy loves to tell people is basically this lie that our lives have no purpose, they have no meaning, there's nothing about them that matters. So you know what? Because of that, you better just get as much stuff as you can and enjoy it as long as you can, because one day it's all going to be done, it's all going to be over, and it's all going to be poof. And Jesus is like, no, there's a deeper purpose for your life. There's something greater than just the accumulation of things and to meet the needs that you seem to think that you have in your heart and in your life. Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. For some of you, I know it sounds kind of crazy, you might as well just, like, you need to get that today. And you could literally, you know, wait. You can go out in the foyer and wait till lunch. You are God's masterpiece. You're not His junk. You're not His mistake. You're not anybody's mistake. Because they didn't make you. You're God's masterpiece. And you know what I do? You know what you do with masterpieces? Here's what you do with masterpieces. You put them on display. You don't take a masterpiece. Like, let's say I did something absolutely ridiculous. And I went to an auction. One of those art auctions. Have you heard about these things? I mean, they're crazy people. I mean, I like nice things, but I mean, like, $10 million for a bunch of paint on a canvas? Like, I say this all the time to my son. He laughs at me. I say, there's a lot of people in this world got more money than they got sense. But let's say I did that. Let's say I was one of those people. I went and I bought me a $10 million painting. You think I put that in the basement of my house? You think those people do that? No. They got a special spot. It's over the mantle. It's in their art gallery. I mean, it's got lighting. It's got all the, I mean, and some of us, man, we go, oh yes, I'm God's masterpiece, but now God has placed me in the basement. Are you kidding me? No. It's why God calls us salt and light. And that's why He says, I'm going to put that light on a hill so it can't be hidden, because you're God's masterpiece. You're God's masterpiece. And He has a purpose for that masterpiece. And it's not to be hidden. And it's not to be put away into the basement. It's to put out so people can see it. And people can be changed. He created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So we could do the good things He planned for us long ago. He didn't just say, I'm going to make a masterpiece of you and then just put you in the basement. He's got plans and purposes for you. He's got plans and purposes. He's going to meet your needs because He's got things He needs you to do and accomplish for His kingdom. You have a purpose that's greater than just everyday life. You have a purpose that's going to bring eternal consequences to people and to our world and to our community. Number two, why can we trust it? Our value to God. Look what it says here in verse 26b. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? The context, of course, of that is the birds and of the flowers. And he basically says, listen, he says the birds get taken care of. Heavenly Father feeds them. He says the flowers are beautifully adorned. And he basically says, aren't you more valuable than birds? Aren't you more valuable than flowers? I mean, it's one of those things where we hear those terms and we go, well, of course we are. But do we live that way? Do we allow our lives to have that understanding where we kind of look at things and go, you know what? If God's going to take care of the flowers, God's going to take care of the birds, he's going to take care of me. And you know, typically what I sometimes do, and this is kind of my little pit that I can kind of fall into sometimes, I'll go, yes, God can take care of the birds, God can take care of the flowers, and God can take care of you, but I don't know all the time if God will take care of me. We do that. We can have a lot of faith for other people when God is saying, where's your faith? You're valuable to him. You matter to him. He cares and he loves you. Look at Luke 12. In Luke 12, verse number 6, Jesus kind of expounds on this idea. And he says, what's the price of 5 sparrows? He says, what's the price of them? 2 copper coins, 2 pennies, nothing. Basically stuff that today we wouldn't even pick up. Wouldn't even bother. 2 copper pennies. Yet God does not forget a single one of them. Some of you need to underline the word forget and not, basically, in your Bible. Because some of us walk around feeling like God has forgotten us. And God hasn't forgotten the birds. If God hasn't forgotten the sparrows, he hasn't forgotten you. He says, he hasn't forgotten a single one of them. And the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. You matter to him. You're valuable to him. He cares for you. And he's going to take that care and make and meet the needs that you have in your life. Number three, and this is a big one, especially with guys, okay? Not just guys, but girls too, I get, but just guys, I know, at least for a lot of guys I've dealt with, and myself included, our security is found in who he is and what he can do, not ourselves and what we can do. Look what it says here. Can all the worries add a single moment to your life? One of the areas that can be so difficult for so many of us is the idea of security, and it feels like I have to do all these things to bring forth financial security, emotional security, whatever type of security that you're looking for or hope, and it's all on me. I have to bring these things about. I have to work harder. I have to be noticed more. I have to come up with the idea. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to I. And basically, Jesus is basically saying, like, all that worry, all that focus, all those things, can it do anything really? Is it going to add anything to your life? Because for many of us, man, listen, we're cool with Jesus as Savior. We even think we're cool with Jesus as Lord, but we're not necessarily cool with Jesus as our security. Our security can be found with what's in our bank account, or how things are going at work, or how things maybe are going in our family, or how things are going in our relationships, or whatever else. And so we look at those things and we go, yes, Lord, I need you for this, this, and this, but my security is found in what I can do and what I have done. And Jesus is basically going, listen, all your worries, all your cares, all your focus, you're not going to really be able to do much. Because here's the deal. Here's the thing. You can do everything right and still have it not necessarily work the way you want it to work. Listen, I'm not going to get into the details, but I'm just going to tell you right now. I've been fired before. And you know what I was told? Quote, Aaron, you did everything right, but I needed you to do more. What do you do with that?
thank you?
Aaron, you did everything right, but I needed you to do more. What could I have done? I did it all right, supposedly. You see, sometimes when we put our security in things that can fail us, we feel like a failure when things don't work the way we need them to or think that they do, and we worry and we fret when God is basically saying, listen, put your faith, put your security in me and what I can do, not necessarily what you can do. And I'm not saying here that I think that we should basically sit on our hands and do nothing. What I am saying is to understand that in our work, in the things that we're doing, in the things we're striving for, that we understand that in our security and our hope is found in Jesus and Him alone. Him alone. Look at Nahum, verses 1 through 7, one of these minor prophets we're going to be looking at in a couple weeks. He says, the Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. 1 Peter 5, 7, another great verse. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. He cares for you. Find your security in Him, because He is worth investing in. He's worth it. Number four, we can trust because of the loving care of our Heavenly Father. He says He will certainly care for you. One of the things that Jesus really begins to express here in the Sermon on the Mount, in so many different areas, whether it be how to pray or other areas or here, is this concept of God as our Heavenly Father. This was a relatively new idea when it came to His hearers. Like this was something a little bit different. Because they go to God, they go to Jesus and say, how do we pray? And Jesus says, well, you pray about our Heavenly Father. And then He continues on here in the Sermon on the Mount by talking about our Heavenly Father and His care for us. His loving care. And one of the things that is so important that we understand is that God loves us and cares for us. Like His love is not just a love that sits there. It's a love that is in action. It is moving. It is actually affecting our lives. Because it's more than just liking. It's a love that is an action verb. That is so important. Look at Zephaniah 3:17. He says, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. I don't know if you've noticed this. Maybe you've kind of picked up on this, but a lot of these verses we're reading about talk about this idea of afraid and fear and the opposite of what God brings. And His loving care is expressed in the fact that He is Savior. It's expressed in His rejoicing over you and His love for you and His care for you. I mean, listen, we got a couple of, you know, basically brand new moms and dads. And it's awesome. And it's one of the greatest things is to be able to watch children and how they grow and mom and dad and how they love. And you know, it's been such a joy to see, you know, how Caleb and Bear have been just loved by mom and dad, but not just mom and dad, but by all of us. And the loving care that their parents have for them. And here's the deal. I know I shouldn't say this, but I'm just going to have to. As much as like when we think about Josh and Megan and Daniel and Christine, I know we just like we have this idea that they're just perfect. But they're not. They're not. But the loving care that they give their sons, even though they're not perfect, is a beautiful thing. Listen, our Father is perfect. Our Father always knows. I remember when I was a dad, man, when we brought Easton home, and I was like, what do I do with this thing? You know, it's like, okay, hold it. Hold the head. Don't drop it. Okay, feed it. I don't do that. How do I do this? What do I do? It's crying. I don't know. Does it sleep? When does it sleep? How does it sleep? Oh, I'm going, ah! Sound familiar? You know, our God never goes, ah! He knows. And here's the other thing. Caleb is a different baby than Bear because they're different people. And God knows exactly how to love you. You know, like I had to learn, and this is a weird way, I had to learn Easton. You have to learn Bear, you have to learn Caleb, you have to learn your children because, you know, one, you know, because sometimes you know, you'll have a couple children and, well, this kid did this, yeah, they're all different. God knows you. He knows how to love you. If you'll just let him. He knows how to wrap you in his arms and hold you. If you'll just let him and care for you and meet those needs. He's a loving Heavenly Father. The last one, and this is a big one. He knows and is already working. He knows and he's already working. Verse 32, the second part. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Man, just the way my mind works, I like this one. I like plans. I like to have my plan. I get my plan. I work my plan. I have my list. I have my checklist. I like planning. And I like that my God has a plan. And he already knows. And not only does God already know every single need you have ever had or will ever have, he's already working those things out for you. Listen, think about this for a second. I love this. You have needs that you're going to have tomorrow that you have no idea what they are. Zero. Zero. God not only already knows, he's been spending the last oomph number of days, months, years planning for those needs that you're going to have. Look at this, Isaiah 65:24. This is a great verse. Look at this. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. That's how good our God is. He's like, before you even know to ask, I got it. Before you even know what you need, I'll meet the need. I mean, I don't know about you, but there's been times where it's like I'll be hit with a situation that came out of left field. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen now? How's God going to handle this now? And sometimes, not every time, but sometimes like I'm still in the middle of freaking out about the situation and God has already met the need. I just don't know it yet. And I'm sitting there going, oh God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? I remember when we first moved here. I just want to be real open and honest. It was not easy to come to Colorado. It took a lot of faith for a lot of different reasons. And when we came, we were in a home for a while that was basically a rental that the church helped us with. And we were there for several months looking for a home. And basically, we were able to finally buy a home in August. And because of the move and just because of things that had happened, in a lot of ways, when we were getting ready to get to Christmas, we were struggling financially. And some of you were saying, maybe some of you were on the board at the time, and you're like, well, this is the first I've heard of this. And I say, yeah, you're right, because I didn't tell you. So you didn't do anything wrong. You've always taken such good care of us as a family, and I appreciate that. But we were struggling. And I was sitting there going, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? How are we, you know, we were going to be fine, but I was starting to go like, are we going to be able to pay our mortgage? That's kind of where we were at. And I just remember going, God, what are we going to do? God, I know you called me here. God, I know you brought me here. But God, do I need to go to another job? What do I need to do? And I'm sitting there all upset, frustrated, concerned, feeling like I'm a failure as a pastor and as a father and as a husband. I mean, I was running the gauntlet of all of it. And I remember the day that really Emily and I sat down and really kind of looked at things and we kind of had that realization. I remember the day. And I just remember thinking, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? About 4 days later, I went and checked the mail. And there was something in the mail from someone from back in Albuquerque. Card, we opened it up. Merry Christmas. We love you guys. We're proud of you. We're praying for you. We just felt like this was something the Lord laid on our heart. And it not only took care of all of Christmas, it took care of the mortgage payment, it took care of everything. And really, from that point on, we've been able to kind of move forward with our finances and where God has really blessed us and helped us in so many ways. And I remember looking at that and I just began to weep and I just began to cry, because obviously I'm a crier. And I felt so foolish. And I just remember crying, God, I'm so sorry I didn't trust you. I'm so sorry that my faith can be so small. And I remember God just speaking to my heart. He said, check the date. And I went, what? Check the date? What are you talking about? What date? And I realized there's a date on the card. There was a date, not on the card, but on the envelope. You know, when you get an envelope and it runs through the thing and it dates it. And I remember going, why? God, why? Why? You know, it's like, I'm already broken here. What are you trying to do now? And I went and I got the envelope and I looked at the envelope. And the date, the postmark on the envelope was basically a day before the conversation had even happened, that we even knew where we were at. Why? God was saying, I knew before you did. And I met the need before you. It was already in the mail. Listen, some of you need to hear this morning. Your healing, your prayers, your financial issues, your relationships that are broken, God is saying to you, listen, it is already in the mail. It's already in the mail. And listen, I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I love the mail. I mean, they do the best they can. They got a lot of mail to take care of. And they do a pretty amazing job. But you know what? Sometimes there's a little bit of a delay. Sometimes it takes a little longer to get there. But you know what? It's still coming. Because here's the deal. When God sends it, it'll get there at the exact moment that you need it. And He'll meet that need. And He'll meet that situation in ways that will blow your mind. And He'll sit there and He'll say in a loving way, why did you have such little faith? Remember the birds? Remember the flowers? I'll take care of those. I'll take care of you. And in so many ways, God wants us to understand that. Listen, we don't know what 25 is going to hold. 2025, we don't know. We don't know what God is going to do. We don't know the hardships, the good moments. We don't know. But I do know this. Our God will meet all of our needs. He'll take care of us. Because He loves us, because He already knows, because we're so valuable to Him, because He has a purpose and a plan for our lives. All of these things are proof that God would say, listen, I've got you. If you'll put your faith and your hope and your focus on my kingdom and my righteousness, all these other things I will bring about. I don't know when, I don't know how. I said it earlier. I said, just because we spend 21 days of prayer and fasting doesn't mean that God's going to answer whatever prayer you're praying during those 21 days. It comes in His timing, is perfect timing. But He'll meet those needs. He'll meet those needs. You see, what we need to understand is this. It's in your notes. The choice to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness is the fundamental choice everyone makes when they first repent and are saved. When you basically go to the Father and you say, God, I'm a sinner, I need you, all those things. Man, you've made that choice in that moment. You've basically said, I'm going to put God's kingdom and His righteousness above all else. Yet, every day after that, our life will either reinforce that decision or deny it. Every day, we have a choice to make. Are we going to say, I will put God's first? I will make that the priority, His kingdom, His righteousness, and then let all these other things be taken care of by Him. Now, here's what's great. God will use us to bring about those things. God will use us to bring about the needs that we have in our lives and the lives of others. But ultimately, every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And so He takes care of those things for us. He is the one that takes care of those needs. And so we have the choice to make this morning. Will we deny or will we reinforce the decision that we made at the very beginning when we said God's kingdom and His righteousness are what I'm seeking first? You see, like we said earlier, you can really only seek first one type of thing. You're either going to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, or you're going to seek other things, all these other things. And here's the thing. When we make that choice to seek first Him, all the other things He takes care of. And so this year, as we look at our lives, and here's what will happen, I guarantee you, for you and for me, is we'll be going along, and maybe we're doing great. You know, man, we're seeking God first. We're seeking His righteousness first, and then something will hit, or something will take place, and we'll all of a sudden kind of veer off a little bit and kind of go, okay, now I got to fix this, or I got to deal with this, and we'll have to make that choice at that time. Wait a minute. Am I letting God handle what He needs to handle, and I'm handling what I'm going to need to handle, or have I decided to basically kind of take control again? And said, you know, God, I want to make sure I meet all these things. Because here's the thing. The greatest things in this world are not really the things. It really is Him. It's being close to Him and to serve Him and to worship Him and to live for Him and to live the way He's called us to live, because He really is the greatest treasure. Not the stuff. It's Him. And He makes us a promise. And we looked at this promise all the way back at the beginning of the series. But I want to look at it again as we close this morning. Look at it with me. Jeremiah 29, 12. Look at the promise that we get. Then you will call on Me and come and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. Look at the first part of verse 14. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. We seek Him, His righteousness, His kingdom, because ultimately we want to find Him. And the promise that He makes us is when we do that, we'll find Him. We'll find Him. He'll be found. He'll hear us. He'll respond to us. He listens to us. He does all these things. And when we search after Him, when we seek after Him, He promises us that He will be found. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes so we can focus. I want to tell you a quick story and then end. When I was a child, one of the things that I used to enjoy doing is play hide and go seek. Probably a lot of you enjoy that as well. And I remember one time, I was getting a little bit older, and it was probably at that age where it was kind of weird because I didn't really probably need a babysitter, but I have younger siblings, and they probably did, they did for sure, and I wasn't quite mature enough or old enough to basically be the babysitter, so it was kind of in that weird position, you know, so it was kind of one of those things where I was always told, oh, well, you're the helper, you know, type of thing. And I remember one time, we decided as a group with the babysitter, we're going to play hide and seek. And I liked hide and seek. I thought it was a lot of fun. And again, remember, I was a little bit older, you know. So the babysitter said, well, I'll be it. And I was like, oh, yeah, you be it. And so she started counting. Well, I ran, and basically I had this spot that I had not told anybody about. I'd been planning this, you know. And basically, I found a spot in the closet, in the hall closet. We had this longer kind of hall closet. It was long, but it wasn't deep. And my father, in the back of this closet, had kind of like his long trench coat, you know, kind of an overcoat, but it was big. And I just remembered that if I kind of positioned that just right, I could hide behind that and there was nobody going to find me. I mean, just the way it was just, I was just small enough. I mean, it just fit perfectly. So man, I got back in there. I had kind of figured out how to make sure to close the doors behind me. So I got the doors closed. And then I went back behind that coat, pushed everything back, and just got it so, so perfectly. And then I just sat there and listened, you know? And so, of course, the babysitter finds my sisters. They're younger pretty quick. Takes a little longer, finds my brother. And then they all decide, okay, let's go find Aaron. And they started to look and look and look. And at first, there was kind of this excitement in voices, and I heard. And then I started to hear, like, some concern, some fear. Like, I was not the type of kid that would not have been above basically, like, running out and hiding somewhere out of the house. And this young lady started to get nervous, and she started to call. And she started saying, Aaron, this isn't funny anymore. Where are you? And, of course, what am I doing? I'm giggling. I mean, I'm loving it. I'm going, finally. And I'm just laughing. And now as an adult thinking back on it, like I really scared this young lady. I'll find her in heaven and apologize one day. And she's getting nervous and scared. And you could hear the worry begin to just come into her voice and the scare. Like she was like going like, I'm going to go find the emergency number. Remember those, mom and dad, you know, the emergency numbers to call? Because nobody had cell phones. And she was like, going to call and be like, I lost your son. And eventually, basically, she never did find me. I eventually came out. And I mean, she was so mad at me. And here's the deal. For some of us, we live our lives with this thought and this idea that God is playing hide-and-go-seek from you. And that God is hidden someplace far away. I mean, he's God. He knows the best hiding places. And we call out to him, and we call, and we call, and God just, he just stays hidden. God sits there and giggles in the closet behind the coats. And no matter how hard we call, no matter how difficult the situation becomes, we just feel like our God never hears us. And just like that young lady, we get more and more frantic, we get more and more afraid, we get more and more worried, and we call and we call and we call. You know, Scripture tells us, we just saw it, that when we seek God with our whole hearts, when we will put first his kingdom and his righteousness. We saw it in so many verses, not just today, but throughout this series. God will be found. God will not stay hidden from you. But for some of us, we think that we can find him by not seeking after him with our whole hearts. You see, God could be found in a lot of different ways. But God chooses to ask us to seek after him with our whole hearts. Why? Because that's what we need. Not what God needs. We need it. We need to make that decision that basically says, you know what? My priority is not all the other things. It's putting God first and seeking him above all other things. And when we do that, God is found. And so if you say to me, Aaron, this morning, I don't know if I can find God. I don't know where God is. I have a simple question. Are you seeking him first? Are you allowing his righteousness and his kingdom to be the number one thing? Or are you looking at all these other things? And sometimes we can super spiritualize all the other things. Well, this is a good thing, and this isn't a bad thing. Like for people like me, it's like, well, the ministry is a good thing. I need to seek after the ministry. I need to seek after that thing. And you know what? That is can be just as much an idol as anything else. And God says, no. I want you, Aaron, to seek after me and my kingdom and my righteousness. And then all these other things, I'll be found by you and I'll meet every single one of those needs. Every single one of them. Is it easy? No, it's not. Do we need to work on it? Absolutely. Is something almost daily that we have to do? I believe so. But God will help us. And God will help you. So that this 21 days of prayer and fasting won't just be a season. It'll be a change of a lifestyle. And that God will help all of us. To even know that this season is done. The change and the focus will not. And so whether it's day 20 of the fast or 8 of the fast or 30 days past the end of the fast, our lives say, Jesus, I seek your kingdom and your righteousness first, and I will let you bring all these other things in your way and in your time. So I don't know about you, but I definitely want this time, this season, to not end. Now, what I mean by that is this. I'm ready for the fasting to end, to be honest. But this focus, this pursuing and this seeking after God, I want it to be the new norm for me and for you. And that comes by first and foremost seeking Him. So if that's you, and that's what you desire for your heart and your life, will you pray with me as I pray over you? Father, we love you and we thank you. God, you're so good. And God, for so many of us, it can be so difficult at times to trust you with all the other things. We think that we have to get it taken care of. We have to get it figured out. We have to be the security. We have to be this or that. And Jesus, all that does is bring worry and fret and a lot of times frustration into our lives. When you've basically said, listen, I'm not minimizing the needs. Jesus doesn't minimize the needs. He's just simply saying, if you'll focus on me and my kingdom and my righteousness, I'll meet all those needs. And you know what I found, guys? I found that God meets my needs better than I do. Because he sees tomorrow and I don't. He sees everybody else and I don't. And when he meets needs, he does it in ways that are greater than I could ever dream or imagine. And I know so many of you could have story after story saying the same. And so God, knowing those things, would you not allow this time to end as far as the change and the focus in our hearts and our lives? Would you, God, would you help me and all of us to say, you know what? Yeah, 21 days may be over. We're on quote unquote day 22, but day 22 is still all about you. It's all about your kingdom and your righteousness and letting you handle all these other things. Day 23, we'll wake up and we'll say, you know what, God? I'm going to focus on you, your kingdom and your righteousness. Day 48, God, your kingdom, your righteousness. You take care of all these other things. Day 142, God, your kingdom, your righteousness, all these other things you've got. Let this be a life change situation for me and for all of us, God. And when we stumble, because we probably will, that we'll realize that and come back to you and allow you to love, forgive, and restore and get our focus back where it belongs. You're so good. And we love you so much. Thank you. Thank you, God, for taking care of all these things and being found. You're so good and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, again, I know 21 days is over. We'll, you know, put it on your calendar. We'll do it in 2026. It'll be here before you know it. But don't let this season end at the same time. Okay? Awesome. Thank you. Hey, for those that are online, we love you. We miss you. We hope that you're doing well. For those that are here, thank you so much for being with us. Now remember, after service, we're going to move some chairs, and the food is looks like it's already here. That was meaning, hurry up, Aaron. You're going too long. That's what that was. So, you know, I get it. But I hope that you're able to stay with us and have some lunch and celebrate this time with the youth and celebrate the end of the fast. So again, thank you so much for being here. I love you. We'll talk to you soon.